Hi, welcome to Standup's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Standup. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I want to focus on two key areas. The first is the US inflation data that was released last week. I know that we've spent a lot of time talking about US and other inflation numbers, but it's absolutely critical in terms of the outlook for US interest rates. So I think we need to just delve into the US in CPI and PPI data that came out for February. The second area I want to focus on is the Transnet Network statement. It was released on Friday. It's a draft statement open for public comment. It's a massive document, 150 pages. But from my perspective, it's a critical step in the right direction in terms of trying to encourage private sector involvement in operating various rail corridors in South Africa. So let's get started with those two topics. As I mentioned in the introduction, the US released their February inflation data last week, and it was a little bit disappointing. At a headline level, CPI rose by 0.4%, taking the annual rate up to 3.2%. So in the previous month, it was recorded at 3.1%. That's not a huge difference. But when you're trying to reach a target of 2% and you're sitting at 3.2%, then clearly you've still got work to do. And it's evident that the Fed is not in a position to start to cut interest rates anytime soon. It was also disappointing when you look at core inflation that rose by 0.4%. The market was thinking an increase of only 0.3%, suggesting there's more underlying inflationary pressure. And again, that number sits way above the target at 3.9%. So the Fed, while they've made progress on bringing inflation down from the peak levels of just over 9%, they've got to keep at it. They've got to keep interest rates elevated. They can't afford to cut interest rates anytime soon. Otherwise, they run the risk of undoing a lot of the progress they've made so far. If we break down the data and look at where the pressure is, a lot of it still relates to the shelter component. Shelter inflation has continued to slow on an annual basis. It sits at 5.7%. But the rate at which it's slowing down is very, very slow. And so in the month, it increased by 0.4%, and it's clearly contributing to the overall rate of inflation remaining elevated. Now, we can see that when we calculate US inflation excluding shelter. So if we take the total CPI number, we take away the shelter index, then what is the underlying level of inflation? And right now, it's 1.8%. And in fact, over the last 9 months, if you exclude shelter, US inflation has been below 2%, in which case the Fed would be cutting interest rates. So it is fair to argue that shelter is playing a very substantial part in keeping inflation elevated overall. So what can the Fed do about that? Not a whole lot. They could consider hiking rates further. Clearly that has implications in terms of the performance of their economy, the outcome for financial markets, but it's maybe something that ultimately they're going to have to consider. In the meantime, I think what they'll do is simply keep rates elevated. They will send a message that they're not about to cut rates, that expectations of a June rate cut are starting to look increasingly optimistic, that you probably now have to revise that to a late second half of the year interest rate cut. Maybe you get two interest rate cuts this year. Even that is a bit uncertain. And until the inflation data moves down much more noticeably, I think we're in a holding pattern. And clearly that has ramifications for the rest of the world. There are many central banks, including the South African Reserve Bank, that pay a lot of attention to what the US interest rate cycle is doing. When is the US about to start cutting interest rates? And clearly, the South African Reserve Bank wouldn't want to be substantially out of line with the trends within global interest rates, particularly US and European interest rates. So this could well delay the global interest rate cutting cycle until much later this year. The second topic to discuss is Transnet's network statement. It was released on Friday last week as a draft document. I'm assuming that Transnet will allow a couple of weeks to receive feedback and then finalize the document. As it is, though, it's a massively comprehensive document. It's 150 pages long. A lot of that is devoted to individual rail corridors, providing significant specifications. But in essence, the Transnet Network Statement is a message to the private sector that says we're open for business. This is Transnet trying to encourage the private sector to get involved in the operation of specific corridors. Now, it looks to me like they're going to offer numerous corridors as a potential investment opportunity, and it's really up to the private sector as to whether or not they're interested. A lot of the detail seems to have been improved relative to what was put forward back in 2022. Transnet tried to do something like this a couple of years ago. It failed. And part of the reason why it failed back then was that the specifications that Transnet put forward was completely unacceptable to the private sector. They've revised all of that. In particular, they're now allowing for long-term contracts, something like 15 years, whereas previously the contract was only for 2 years. And obviously the private sector would not get involved in a two-year contract. The level of investment required is many millions of rands, and clearly you're not going to get a return on that investment within 2 years. So offering a 15-year contract is a much more acceptable proposition. And I think you've seen similar revisions to other key elements. And what we've got to watch now is, how does the private sector respond to this? More broadly, though, it is an important indication that government wants to move ahead with private-public partnerships. Now, we've seen that progress within the energy sector. We've seen some of that progress within the port system, where the government and Transnet has approved a Philippines company to run Pier 2 Harbour, the container part of the Durban Harbour. And obviously, we're hoping that that will move ahead within the coming months. And this is another iteration of that, where they're saying private sector can get involved in operating some of the key corridors within the rail system. I'm assuming that this will be broadened out into other areas. There's ongoing discussion about the water system, the sanitation system. I think that's a bit more complicated. But it is a clear intention from government to revitalize South Africa's infrastructure and to use private-public partnerships as the conduit for that revitalization. And so this is incredibly encouraging. What I think we've got to just be realistic about is the time frame. This is going to take many years to get going. It's going to take many years for private sector to raise capital, get involved, start to procure the necessary locomotives, wagons, revitalize the rail system. There's a lot of backup maintenance that has to be completed, etc. So we're looking at least a 3 to 5 year time frame in which you're going to hopefully then see some progress. But it's the first very clear statement from Transnet that they are serious about allowing the private sector in. And I think given this, together with the changes in senior management at Transnet, we are a lot more encouraged by government's initiatives around infrastructure renewal in this country. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.